Today, friends, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you brought them with you today. We're reading from the book of 1 Kings, a decent selection here today in size. We're reading verse 1, and we're reading all the way through verse 15, the beginning of that verse. Let's turn our attention now to God's Word. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid. He ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. The word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out. Stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, in these words, in the very life of Elijah, speak to us, to our own lives. Speak to our hearts. Enable us to hear the grace that comes for each of us in our own places of weakness. Grant us the courage to see you in the places where you seek to heal us. May we trust you in that work. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Earlier in the week, I was talking with Pastor Clint about what would come for Sunday. He recommended going back in the lectionary a week. He said there were some spectacular passages, and I went and looked, and indeed there were. He asked later in the week what text I had chosen. I told him 1 Kings 19, and he said, "Oh, I love that text. I'm tempted to preach it every time it comes up." So, I say that for two reasons. One, this is a very different sermon for me, and it may be a different kind of sermon for you. And so, point two, if it is, there are plenty of other times a better preacher has preached it. Look those up. That said, this is a deep and meaningful story. We see Elijah just coming off of a moment of triumph. We didn't read it, but just previous to the story, you might remember what he did on Mount Carmel, where he faced these pagan priests. He challenged them to show whose God was real. And in a moment of spiritual triumph, Elijah dosing the altar filled with sacrifices, dosing it in water, he prays, and the true God, the God of Israel, calls down fire, consumes the altar, and there Elijah shows God's strength and power forever. And then, suddenly and immediately, we come to today's passage, where we find Elijah running for his life, finding shelter where? But under a bush in the middle of the wilderness. It would be impossible to talk about this text without dealing with the difficulty of being under the broom bush. And Clint has described in previous times this desire as a preacher to watch a sermon grow, to build. And to be honest, that hasn't happened much in my short time in ministry, except here. For months now, something has been working on me, and then this text suddenly unlocked what it is. It seems to me that at this moment in time, our culture, our nation, maybe you might say, seems to be living with some flashing spiritual warning lights on the dashboard. A check engine kind of moment. Let me explain what I mean. Did you know that in 2021, there was a 25% increase in diagnosed depression and anxiety? Do you know that the most affected age group was those 20 to 24 years old? In 2017, they found that there was a direct correlation between an increase in social media usage and those who use it being struck with anxiety, depression, and lack of sleep. You know that social media usage grows year over year. Right now, over 50% of the world uses it over 2 hours a day. The very thing proven to increase anxiety and depression. They found that 91% of news coverage produced is negative. You know, in the last 3 years, news coverage has increased a minimum of 30%. Some channels have gone up by 50%. The last years, excessive drinking has increased by 21%. Drug overdoses have quadrupled in the last 10 years. Do you know that ER visits for children with mental health disorders has increased by 25% in the last 2 years alone? I do not share this to be dark, though I think it is important to be honest when we find ourselves under the broom brush. We live in a moment in which these are more than just numbers. I try to not just throw out statistics, but to remind us that this is a real human struggle. That it's not just the world that's struggling. Each and every single one of us in this room has been affected in some way. It might be you. It might be your family member. It might be your friend. It is certainly a brother or sister in Christ in this congregation. We have all been affected, and none of us have escaped the broom brush. All of us can learn something from Elijah's story. And it begins with his waking and seeing the bread and the water ready and prepared. I think it's easy as Americans maybe to read a story like this and to push past it, to get to the next part. But bear with me. This beauty of the simple things, bread and water, they're common. And it reminds me of a very small part of our worship service today. I didn't grow up in a liturgical Christian tradition. In other words, we didn't have a Christian year. We celebrated Easter and Christmas, but that's about it. But you notice the color of our vestments today are green. Those of you who have lived with a Christian calendar know that it represents what we call common time. In other words, there's times of the year that we think of as sacred and celebratory. There are other times we say, yeah, they're common. The majority of us live our lives in the common days. We live day to day doing our work and living our lives, loving our families, seeking to be faithful as best as we can do. And that is the Christian message that we hear in Elijah's story, that the simple common things of life, food and sleep, this matters. We might be tempted to take these things for granted. As Americans, most of us have bread and water at a beck and call. It's a matter of getting up and going and getting them. But you have to remember, if you don't have these things, They are priceless. A reminder that God cares for us in the most common areas of life. We shouldn't push past the most simple and pretend that they are not important. To those of us who might be tempted to take them for granted, may we be reminded of the prayer we just prayed, where we ask for our daily bread. The common needs of this day, God cares about. He knows that we need them. He knows we're only human. He knows and He gives us what we need for this day. God has a long history of feeding His people. We know manna in the desert. Here there's bread waiting under the broom brush. By the way, I love that. If you know anything about bread, bread doesn't just come out poof, right? You have to mix ingredients. You have to have yeast. It has to be prepared and baked. Yet there it is, already made, prepared. God has given us what we need. And I realize that I'm a pastor and I'm preaching right now. This may not sound supernatural or spiritual, but someone here today at the sound of my voice may need to hear, eating today is enough. If you struggle to wake up, if you struggle to be with people, if you are depressed, if you cannot get the strength you need, eating well today may be enough. Your body deserves to be cared for. Jesus Christ ate and lived and slept. It's the common things of life that God has given us, ways that we can trust Him to care for our needs. Anyone who has loved someone who has struggled knows the damage and pain that can come when we stop taking care of ourselves. If you hear something today, take care of yourself. Take the first step. Sleep if you need it. Eat if you need it. This is God's gift to you. Speaking of sleep, I learned this week, you know that our national average of a night's sleep is 5 hours and 30 minutes a night? Which means that 33% of the population is considered to not get enough sleep. Businesses figure that it will cost them $411 billion this year due to sleep deprivation in the workplace. And sleep deprivation is accounted for 6,000 car accidents a year. Sleep is hard. Doesn't sound like a thing a pastor should be talking about. May I remind you of that prayer that we may have once learned as children? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Isn't it interesting? We teach our children, even if I die, I trust the Lord my soul to keep. Sleep is trust. We don't take care of ourselves. We can't protect ourselves. We can't meet our needs. We simply trust God to care for us in our moment of rest. God knows our frame. Friends, He knows that we're human. He knows what we need. He knows that we need food and we need sleep. We need to care for ourselves, and He will provide for us what we need today. Eugene Peterson, in his book, The Pastor, describes his own life and for him what became a metaphor of life. He says in the book, every step arriving. Friends, sometimes the first step of a day is like running a marathon. And I want to be very and abundantly clear. Elijah shows us that God cares for each and every one. The lost, the least, the depressed, the anxious, those who struggle with health. God cares for you, and wherever you are, your next step is arriving in the grace of Jesus Christ. We move on. Part of the story that I've got to confess gripped me the most. Whenever you hear God's voice in a movie or it portrayed, do you hear Charlton Heston's voice? I love when God speaks that we try to speak as that one who's great, the creator of all things. I particularly get joy when preachers sort of puff up, God says. I joke, but we're trying to project this greatness of God. But did you hear in the story? There was a violent wind, an earthquake, a fire. Friends, these are loud. deafening. These are, if anything, the voice of God, except God was not in them. Do you know this? When was the voice of God heard? In the silence. In the silence. It struck me as I studied this text. Scholars don't know how to translate that word silence. Turns out it's poetic and it's not used very often. Some translate it still small voice. You might remember that from some hymns. Some translate it quiet whisper or gentle whisper. But my favorite, turned into the sermon title today, some translate it the sound of, what is my sermon title today? The sound of silence. The sound of silence. Think on that for a second. What does silence sound like? For many of us, silence is actually a deep and painful experience. We are afraid in it that we might be alone. But yet God has given us silence as a moment to hear his deeper voice. Mother Teresa once said, God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer. It struck me recently that for the longest time, I've been a pastor now, I think it'll be on Monday, for 9 years, how little I have thought about Sabbath, rest, and silence in those 9 years. How easy and tempting it is for me to fill my calendar with things to do, to run from the silence and into all of the noise and fun and exciting things of life, only to find that the silence is itself a difficult thing to hold on to. Friends, we hear God in the quiet. We find in silence an opportunity to hear the still small voice of the Spirit, and yet we are so tempted to run from it. In fact, we find in our day of cell phones and social media apps far more temptation to say things than to listen. So it struck me this week, I think it's dangerous to make up Christian rules, but here's my rule to throw into the ring. What would it look like if Christians agreed that for every word we said online, we said at least 2 words of prayer or had at least 2 minutes of silence? What if we were people who listened to God's voice more than we spoke, who used discernment more than we responded in the heat of a moment? Do you know that researchers have shown that not only does human health decline in the midst of constant noise, but so does animal health. As a city grows, the animal population in that place becomes less vibrant and less capable of surviving. Nothing to do but with sound. We fill our life with noise and we avoid the silence that surrounds us. And when we do so, we leave ourselves open to not hearing that still small voice that seeks to call us by name and to communicate love and grace. I remember it distinctly. It was like yesterday. I was sitting in a church service. I was interning in a congregation in seminary, and this congregation had multiple interns. It was one of the other interns' turns to preach, so I just got to sit and listen. I remember it. I'll never forget this. He stood up and preached a sermon on silence. And he said, I feel like we need to practice it. Our culture's not good at it. So he said, today for the sermon, we're going to take 8 minutes of silence. So he set it up and said, this is going to be awkward. And boy, was it. He sat down, which you may be wishing that I was doing right now. I don't know. But he sat down. And for what felt like years, it was and the people next to you just fidgeted. And I remember going back and talking to friends at seminary and saying, that's the best sermon ever. You have 3 minutes and then you just sit. And I swore I would never do it. I'm keeping my promise today. But friends, was he right? Does the church need to become a place of silence because we as people of faith cannot be trusted to find silence ourselves? Must church be the place that we come where there are no words because we fail to create moments in our life where we can hear God's word? I don't mean to be critical, but if we take seriously that God calls us to listen, how can we be God's people if we don't take time to hear? Elijah heard. He heard the still small voice, but if you were listening carefully, if you were reading closely, he said to God the same exact thing he said the first time. Did Elijah hear? Did he hear the still small voice? I think the text leaves us open to ask that question for ourselves. We discover a story today that's not flashy, and I have to confess to you, this sermon may not sound on its face spiritual, but I hope what you hear in it, that the Christian faith has always called us, that there's more to faith than just being spiritually minded. What we do matters. Take care of yourself. We live in a moment where our culture does not take that for granted. Treat your body as a temple, because in doing so, you bring honor and glory to God. And friends, we cannot live our lives as thoughtful, faithful, gracious people, the people that we know we've been called to be, if we fill our lives with noise. We have to listen. Not all the time, but sometimes. May you have the strength to trust that God speaks even in the quiet moments, to know that God cares for us in a way that we desperately need. He cares for us even when we're at the end of our rope. He cares for us in our deepest and darkest and loudest and most fiery moments. And he speaks to us, yes, even in our quietest moments. My hope and my prayer, friends, if these words don't touch your soul today, you will hold them and you will remember them when you inevitably today encounter someone who needs them. Remind them that they are loved. And remind yourself that God speaks, even today, in the quietest moments. May it be so today and forever. Amen.